Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Praise the Lord. God is good. And did you know this is the day that the Lord has made? It's a great day. If you need notes, there's notes inside your worship guide, but if you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will get you an extra one. Before we get into our message, I heard about this preacher. He went to FSU. They asked him to come speak to the FSU football team. Amen. And so he was preaching. He preached this message, and he says, "Now I want to pray for y'all. I know some of you got injuries and so forth." He said, "You know, I believe in healing." So he said, "If you need prayer, come on up." And the first guy came up, and he said, "What do you need?" He said, "I want you to pray for my hearing." So the pastor started praying for him, put his fingers in his ears. He shook them. He moved them all around. And he said, "All right, how's your hearing?" The guy said, "I don't know. It ain't till next Tuesday." That's FSU football team. Go Gators! Come on, Gators. All right, got to pray for them Seminoles. How do you get victory? This is a message series. This is The Life of Victory, Part 3. So we're a little bit ways down the road on this. If you missed the first two parts, they are on the website. You can watch them. How to get victory in every area of life. Do you believe that that's possible? That's the beginning right there, is to actually believe, because sometimes we settle for less than what Jesus actually purchased for us on the cross. I believe that the grace that was extended to us on the cross is unlimited. It applies to every area of life. I'm convinced of this, and it's something that I think about in the trials of life. I'm convinced that when I get to heaven, and I see the power that was available to me that I didn't tap into. Maybe that's why it says I'll wipe away every tear. Maybe I'll be crying over, "Oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. I didn't have the faith. I didn't step out. I didn't believe." I really believe that there is infinite power on the inside of us by He who dwells within us. It's just a matter of tapping into it. And some of it is that our theology gets messed up. We have what I call Doris Day religion. Everybody remember Doris Day?
Yeah.
She was famous for that song. You remember, "Que sera, sera," whatever. My dad used to sing that. We were driving down the road in the truck. "Que sera, sera, whatever will be." And then we get that. Well, whatever will be. You know, God is great. He's awesome. And that's true. And then we take this next faulty leap of faith, you know, whatever, you know, will be. Whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. But that's not true, because I'll prove it to you in about 30 seconds. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. And then Jesus said more people would perish than would find eternal life. How's that? Free will. It's not His will that any should perish, but He leaves it up to... He paid the price on the cross for everybody, but then He doesn't force it. So it's not que sera, sera. So we cannot have that attitude in the battles of life. We cannot just sit back. And we're going to pick up our story here with Joshua. I'm not going to read the whole passage. We're going to read excerpts of this that we read last week. This is a good example. Then we're going to carry on with this message on the three aspects of the sword. So you remember Joshua, he's the protege of Moses. So Moses is sent to bring the people out of slavery, but into the wilderness. And Joshua has the mission of taking them from the wilderness into the what? Promised land. And we've been talking about how that every one of us has a promised land, something to possess. Now, if you just stay on this side of the Jordan, stay in the wilderness and keep waiting for the promised land to come to you, it ain't moving. And so that's where we find ourselves. Many of us get in this case, sera, sera. Well, when God wants me to be blessed, when God wants this answer to prayer to come, I'm waiting for it. And God is waiting on us to move and take advantage of what He already purchased on the cross and cross the Jordan and fight the enemies and conquer the land, take the land. So let's pick that story up here. It's fitting for us today in life. Every one of us is in the same position as Joshua and the people of Israel. I know that because God doesn't make mistakes. And every one of you here was made on purpose, for a purpose. And there is a land yet for you to conquer, to possess. But there'll be obstacles in your way. So here we are in Joshua chapter 1. And here's what he says to Joshua. And then he's saying it to me. He's saying it to you. Arise. So there's the first thing. See, it's not just sit back. When is my blessing coming? Arise. Every one of us. It will come a time in your life where you have to arise. And there will be many, many of these occasions where you have to arise. Now, this is not always popular theology because it's easier to just blame it all on God. Come on. Than to say, I have some responsibility in my own success. But that's exactly where God puts the responsibility and the onus in these passages here. Arise. So who's got to arise? Joshua's got to get himself up. Arise, cross this Jordan. That's an impossibility. You can't take millions of people and cattle and resources and children across this. They don't have bridge building capabilities. They don't have helicopters. So right away, he's telling them to do something that seems impossible. Cross this Jordan. So between you and your promised land, there's always going to be some impossible, impassable barrier, which I'm giving to them. Every place on which the sole of what? Your foot treads, I've given it to you. So I've given it to you, but you got to go get it. Only, and then he gives some admonitions here to every one of us. Be strong and courageous. So who has to be strong and courageous? I have to be. See, I can't just sit back and wait. No, be strong, be bold, cross, go do it. There are enemies. They faced giants in the land. They faced wild beasts. They faced armies with swords and shields and weapons and walls and walled cities. Be strong and very courageous. So sometimes I've realized that my prayers are not good prayers. Have you ever thought about that? We think they're good prayers, and I guess it's better to pray a bad prayer than a no prayer at all, because I think in the prayer process, we begin to see how our prayers are falling short. But in thinking about this passage and this concept, I think I realize a lot of times my prayers are kind of whiny and complainy, and really, if you analyze it theologically, it's blaming God for not coming through. It's your fault. And I've had to stop and look at that and go, that's pretty dumb. That's pretty dumb with the understanding that we all have of God that he's perfect, right? So let's back up and go, wait a minute. He's perfect. He loves me more than I love myself. He gave me life itself. He's protected me, saved me, delivered me, gave me so much. And here I am blaming him. Wait a minute. But we don't like the alternative. The alternative is to blame me that I haven't really fully possessed. But I've been trying to analyze my prayers and go, wait a minute, let me stop doing that. So let me just put this out to you, that if you feel like being mad at God, go ahead, be mad, let it go, let it out, have a good cry, you know, blame him, accuse him, say all this stuff, and then stop and repent. Okay, I got it out, and now I'm sorry because I know it's not your fault. Because it's not his fault. And I'm trying to pray strong prayers instead of weak prayers. I'm trying to learn to pray prayers that say that he's already purchased the victory and that I'm enforcing it rather than, I'm trying to quit doing that. Pray for me, would you? Be careful to do according to, so we see all the onus, God is putting it back on Joshua. He's giving him some instructions. Arise, get up, cross the Jordan, be strong, be careful. And then there's stuff we got to be careful about too. Be careful to do according to all the law. You can't just do anything. You say, yeah, well, you know, I break the commandments and I get away with it. Yeah, but you've just defeated your ability to defeat the enemy. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So we talked about that in the sword from Ephesians chapter 6. Here's a connection to that. Something's got to come out of our mouth. This book of the law, truth, scripture, has to come out of our mouth. Not the circumstances. See, too often, we speak the problem instead of the solution. So if you have a problem, you have to find the answer in scripture, put that in your mouth, and speak it to the problem. Instead of bringing the problem to God, he already knows the problem. We don't bring him the problem, we bring the problem his solution. The word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's a critical difference in our prayers. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't tremble or be dismayed. Isn't that our default setting? For the Lord, now here's why you don't have to tremble or be dismayed. Because God's with you. See? So that brings us right back to the New Testament. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The solution to the problem that I'm facing is not way out there somewhere and I'm trying. It's in here. It's Christ in me. The hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me. When we begin to realize what he has already invested and deposited in us through the cross, through salvation, through making him our Lord and Savior, God lives on the inside of us. God is powerful. What's too difficult for God? What can God not move? What can God not do? He created everything that we see with words. He spoke the worlds into existence. Can he not solve our problem? Lazarus was dead. I don't know how many days. He was in the tomb for 4 days. And he just spoke and he comes back to life fully functional, completely well. He was already sick before he died. Now he's dead. But word, God, see, so, and that's what he put on the, that's who's on the inside of us. That life-giving power is on the inside of us. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this is your first fill in the blank in your notes. We learn that victory implies a battle. So he's preparing them for battle. Don't get discouraged because you're in a battle. That's what happens to a lot of us. We're in a battle and we feel that in itself becomes defeat to us. Oh, I thought I was never going to be in a battle. Oh, God. No. We have to get to the place where a battle is a joy because we believe we're going to get the victory. How many of you ever been in a fight? I've told you often. I used to have a really bad temper when I was a kid. I probably got in a fight almost every day of my life growing up, at least once a day. And there's two kinds of fights, a good fight and a bad fight. A good fight is the one where you win. Bad fight's the one where you lose. But there's going to be a fight. And you're going to be, if you ever played sports, it's a lot more fun to win than it is to lose. It's not fun riding home on the bus with all those guys after you lost. It ain't fun. It's fun when you win. So if you already know that the winner is on the inside of you, if you already know the victory, that there's nothing is too difficult for God, that God can't lose, and then you face a battle, you get excited ahead of time because you're going to win. If you're going to go play a game and you already know the outcome, you're excited before the game starts. That's the way it is in the Christian life. The devil is defeated. We know the ultimate victory. I read the back of the book, and we win the whole deal. But in the affairs of life, the question is, we think, I'm not going to win this battle. No, you got to say, that same one who defeats Satan on that day in the Battle of Armageddon, he's already defeated him 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. And he said in Mark 16:15, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, drink deadly poison, take up serpents, heal the sick, lay hands on the sick. Freely you've received, freely give. Tread upon serpents and scorpions. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when we think like that and we see a battle, we would get excited because, hey, I'm going to win this thing. Yeah, I'm going to win. And so we have to start not being afraid of battles, almost being excited about battles. It's like King David when he saw Goliath. He rushed to the Goliath. He knew he told him, he said, I'm going to cut your head off, feed you to the birds. You ain't nothing. And here's this little kid with no armor, but he had a big God. And that's the way we have to face our battles. When they crossed this Jordan, Goliath was already there. Him and all his ancestors and people. There was lots of giants in the land. So we learn that victory implies a battle. We learn that our struggle is not against who we think it's against. Most of the time, we think our problem is a person or a circumstance, and it is something else. We'll look at here in Ephesians chapter 6. But the answer is it's not people, but there's going to be a struggle. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll go through this again. We went through it in more depth last week. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of what? Your own might? Strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against what? The schemes of the devil. That's your adversary. That's your enemy. It's not people. It's the devil. For our struggle, everybody say our struggle. So the struggle is real. There is a struggle. Don't get upset by the fact that there's a struggle. Get excited about the struggle. But let's look, analyze the struggle. Our struggle is not against people, flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. The devil knows your assignment. He knows your potential. He knows your land. And he's trying to get you to not be strong, not be courageous, and not cross the Jordan, and not possess the land. He's working to keep you from inheriting what God has laid out for you against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, that might scare you, but it shouldn't, because remember, the first sign of a believer is cast out demons. So we have authority over them. So it shouldn't. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Just jump down to verse 17 and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in the intervening verses, which I cut out for the sake of time, we left out the rest of that armor, which, I, as I said, was all defensive. And then that last one, which I want to come in, is I'll back up a little bit, all right? I know the score. I don't know why you guys are afraid of the sword. The sword is our offensive weapon. You need to be able to use your sword. A lot of us have put on all our defensive gear, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We've even built up our shield of faith so we can stop the flaming missiles. We've got our loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation. Good, 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 good. The devil's not afraid of that. Now, it protects you, and you need to have it all on. But to possess the land, you've got to have some offense. Look at that. See, everybody, see, you wouldn't be afraid if I just, you know, showed my shield. But if I put that sword, everybody on the front row is worried about the sword. That's the truth of he sees that sword coming. And too often, we don't use our sword. So we've been talking about three aspects. It's in your notes there that we talked about. We're going to zero in on number three today. The first aspect of the sword is Scripture. So this is what comes out of our mouth. Scripture has to become such a part of the fabric of our being that it comes out of our mouth. The second thing is praying in the Spirit. We did that week two. And then the third aspect of the sword is worship. That's what we're going to focus on. Now, I mentioned in the week one about Scripture, and I told you about a lot of people asked if they could get the biblical confessions that we had put out a while back, so we reprinted them for you, and they're in the back. They're also on the website. If you go to the website, maybe some of you aren't familiar with our website. We've got a great website. Pastor Mike takes care of that and keeps it going good and looking good. And these are on there. You can find it by clicking on the links, or you can type that in with the /resources, but these are in the back. And what this is, this is, got to approach this, it's not magic, okay? It's not, okay, here, where's the area that I'm looking for? Okay, finances, okay, here's my scriptures on prosperity. Magic. No, it's not magic. It's not like that. You got these scriptures, you need to focus on the area of your struggle. But it's not a magic wand. It's you keep meditating on them until it becomes you. until you believe the scripture and to where it's coming out of your mouth, but it's coming out of your heart, not just out of your head. You get it in your head until it can drop down into your heart. When it becomes part of your heart, it's part of you, and you possess it and you own it, and that's when the devil flees, because it's a part of you. It's not a magic wand that you just kind of throw at the stuff. It doesn't work that way. I see a lot of people get confused that if you give them a list of scriptures, they think they're going to go home, and 5 minutes later, you know, all their problems, they're just going to... It does. You got to meditate on it. It has to become a part of you. And then the third one is worship, which we'll focus on today. So the first thing that happens when Joshua follows these instructions, God supernaturally parts the Jordan. They walk across on dry land. And then the first place they come to is where? Jericho, the city of Jericho. And Jericho, let's pick that up in Joshua chapter 6. You remember the story of Jericho? Most of us got that in Sunday school. The songs and rhymes. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once, and you shall do this for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Now, remember, this doesn't make any sense from a military perspective, does it? And ram's horns before the ark. And on the 7th day, you're going to march around the city 7 times. None of this makes sense in the natural. That's why you have to be led by the Holy Spirit and do what God tells you to. He's not going to count on your prowess, your strength, your ability. He's going to count on your allegiance and your ability to trust and obey simply and to lean on his power. 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the people are going to shout with a great shout. Now listen, sooner or later in your Christian life, you got to learn to shout. Shout at the devil when you're praying. There's times when you have to speak like that. You have to speak with force. You have to be bold and courageous. There's times when in our worship service, you need to give a mighty praise. You need to learn how to lift your hands and get free. Don't worry about people. That's an expression of humility and faith and break forth. And he said, you're going to shout with a great shout. I don't think these guys went, hey, hooray. No, they did as much as they could. That's the way you have to approach the affairs of life in your struggles. It shall be when they make a long blast with the ram's horn and you hear the sound of the trumpet and shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will lay down flat. What do you think they were thinking when they heard that? And all the people will go up, every man straight ahead. And you know the story. It's exactly what happened and what brought the walls down. A nuclear bomb, a new kind of missile that they could launch, a great big boulder, and he gave them this new physics approach to catapult this boulder. No, it was worship. It was praise. And in our lives, what stands between us and victory will always involve a measure of your ability to praise that wall down that's keeping you from your promised land. We have to learn how to praise. Praise, what this talks about, worship, it talks about obedience, it talks about not your own strength, it talks about humility. So today is Palm Sunday. Thank you, Brenda, for the palms. I appreciate that. You did a great job in decorating the cross. Give Brenda a hand. She's just like incredible, awesome. She always thinks about stuff like that. So let's pick up the story of Palm Sunday. And why is this connected to, why did I have this series end up, or not end up, but land right here on worship on Palm Sunday? Because they're very closely connected. And look at this. In John's, we're going to look at John and Luke, 2 different aspects. Remember, Palm Sunday, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and here's what happens. On the next day, a large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, and began to shout, Hosanna. It began to do what? Shout. It's worship. And they're waving, adoration, waving their palm branches. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now let's pick it up in Luke's account. He gives some other things that happened that John didn't record. And pick it up in Luke 19. It says, as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. More acts of humility. Waving the palms, putting the coats down, shouting Hosanna. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a what? A loud. You keep seeing this? Do you see something here? It's not a half-hearted effort. It's a serious effort. It's a loud voice. It's a shout. It's blow the horns. Give him the best praise that you can. So, a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Shouting, there it is again, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And look what happens. Some of the Pharisees, you know who the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were the religious folk that had power and they didn't like it. And this is always going to happen. Religion doesn't like what's going on. Religious folk don't like exuberant. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Can you tone it down? Have you ever seen that? Even on the earth. You know, someone gets saved, maybe a grandson, and they're just exuberant. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God, that's good, but can you kind of tone it down? And that's what they're saying. The Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Rebuke them? Why? But Jesus said, "I tell you, if they become silent, the stones will cry out." He deserves praise. He praise is becoming. It has to come to him. He said, at this moment, I'm about to go to the cross. And if these people don't cry out, creation itself, an inanimate object, a rock will cry out. And so we get that saying from this man in our lives. Don't let a rock outpraise you. Don't let a rock do your job. If you don't shout, God's going to use some inanimate object, but the blessing is better to fall upon us that we would go ahead and say Hosanna to the King. You got to break through with that shout. So we see that on Palm Sunday. It's linked to that same avenue of success that Joshua and every great man or woman of God throughout biblical history tapped into, the ability to speak the word, pray in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, pray Holy Ghost prayers, and to be able to worship God unashamedly. But you got to do your own worship. It's great to listen to worship, but that's not your worship until you join in it and become part of it. It's great to come on Sunday morning and feel the corporate anointing, and it's great to watch other people worship, but you're not going to get your breakthrough till you worship like they do. You can't just watch worship. You have to be worship. You have to make it yourself. It has to come up out of you. And you have to sometimes thank God ahead of time. When you're in the midst of the battle, they blew the horn before the wall fell down. How many of you know after the wall just falls down, you could shout then? No, they shouted before the wall. Some of you are waiting for the wall to fall down to shout. It ain't going to fall down till you shout before it falls down in anticipation. Saying, God's going to get me through this. I'm convinced of Scripture that God's on my side. I'm going to make it. It's going to be all right. And you give a shout ahead of time. That's one of the greatest praises that you can give, is a shout of praise in the midst of the struggle before the victory comes. Look at this, Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, I said don't be anxious, so there's something to be anxious about, but with thanksgiving. Why would you be giving thanks when you're in the midst of a trial? Because you're thanking him ahead of time. Let your requests be made known to God. Look at this story in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been put in jail, not for being bad guys, but for preaching the gospel. Huh, how about that? Is that something that could get you mad at God, right? I did everything you told me, and they beat us with rods. They put us in this stinking prison underground with rats and smells, and we're chained up in the middle of the night. God, why did you do this? But that's not where they were at. That's what I'm saying. That's where I find myself so many times. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, the nasty place over there. Fasten their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, everybody say midnight. Midnight. Yeah, everybody's going to come to midnight. There's going to be a midnight in your life, a midnight hour, the darkest. They've been beat. They've been thrown in prison. Ain't working like we thought it was going to work. And what are they doing at midnight? Complaining about midnight. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? Praying and singing hymns of praise to God. There you go. There you go. At midnight, in your midnight hour. Can you do that? Can I do that? That's the test that will determine how we come out on the other side. at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Your path to victory will not only set you free, there's other people that are going to be set free by you getting set free. It affects other people. Everyone's chains fell off. Your breakthrough is in your mouth. Freedom is in your mouth. Where do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a spiritual breakthrough? Maybe you need an emotional breakthrough. You're bogged, your emotions are shot. Man, you're waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for you to do something, to shout ahead of time. You need an emotional breakthrough? Maybe you need a mental breakthrough. Fear is consuming your mind, and you're waiting for God to do something. And God said, I already did it 2,000 years ago. That's what Palm Sunday is showing us. You got to shout. You got to praise. You got to wave those palms. Maybe you need a physical breakthrough. Maybe there's something in your body. You think God is not concerned about every area of life, and that He provided everything for every area of life on that cross 2,000 years ago. But the key is going to be in my mouth. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. The key is in your mouth. And this is in your notes. When you don't know what to do, worship Him. I found this to be true in my life. When I feel like giving up, when I feel like quitting, when I feel like I've done everything to write and everything God asked me to do, and now it looks like it's even worse, the best thing I can do is just go and get alone and just worship, and just worship. And pretty soon, after a time of worship, everything turns around and I'm able to see things differently. When you don't know what to do, just worship Him. Worship can be a powerful weapon. Worship in the midst of a struggle is an act of faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. See, complaining is not faith. It's just telling God about our problem. He already knows about our problem. But a praise, a thanks, a shout ahead of time, that's an act of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Yeah. It's an act of faith. Yeah. When you can praise Him in the midst, every time you start to worry, start to worship. Now, we're gonna close here, but I'm going to read you a psalm. I've talked to you about something that's very vital, that's very important, it's very significant, but I admit it's not easy. But it's simple. It's pretty simple, right? What I've told you is not like quantum physics. Or like calculus, and you know, it's like, well, you know, I don't know if I get that. You got it, right? But next step is just doing it. It's just doing it. It's just stepping out. It's just believing God. The gospel is very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple. So just put all your stuff away and fold it up, and I'm going to read Psalm 66. And let this be a worship. It's going to be up on the overhead, and as you read it, let this be a worship. I just want to prime the pump for you. Get the pump working. Robert put a little hand pump in for me. But before it works, you got to put stuff in it. You got to prime it. So I'm going to prime your pump. And I'm going to ask you to do something this week. Every time you start to worry this week, you catch yourself worrying, I'm going to ask you to stop and worship instead. The next week, this coming week, between now and Easter. That's not too big a job, is it? I mean, that's 7 days. If you will do that, all of us have lots of opportunities to worry. Yes. Let's turn them down for 1 week. Turn them down. And instead of every time you start to worry, you catch yourself worrying, just for a week, you can go back to it next week after that, okay? You can go ahead and worry again. For 1 week, when you start to worry, just worship. Now let me read Psalm 66. Just let it be a worship coming up out of you. For the director of music, a song. A song, a psalm. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done. Has God done anything for you? Can you look back and remember some time that you thought in the past you weren't going to make it? You're still here? You made it? He brought you through. He's going to bring you through again. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, O God, test us. Yep. You're being tested. For You, O God, test us. You refine us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. Can you relate? But You brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill My vows to You. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. He's going to turn your test into a testimony. You're going to be like this guy. Say, yeah, it was hard. God let me go through a deep place. And He is letting us go through that. But He brought me through on the other side. And now I want to give a testimony to the goodness of God. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. Do you have a praise in your heart right now? Let's just take a moment. Just everybody, just begin to thank Him. Think about some times in your life where God brought you through. Don't think about the problem you're facing right now at this moment. Think about He came through for you in the past, didn't He? See, that builds your faith. Like He's given, God brought me through. Think about His word. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen, I just want to say that to you. That God would just say to you right now, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I have not forsaken you. I haven't left you alone. I've deposited Myself on the inside of you. I am with you and I am for you, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Don't look down on yourself. Believe in Me. Believe on Me on the inside of you, that greater am I on the inside of you than everything the devil has to offer and that everything that he throws at you. I am greater still. I'm the all-powerful God, and I live on the inside of you, and you're going to make it. Just say to yourself, say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this challenge. I'm going to get through this obstacle. And I thank You ahead of time. Lord, we just thank You ahead of time for the solution, for the answer, for the abundance, for the provision, for the things we've been praying for, the things we've been believing for. We're not going to quit. By faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Oh, can you say with most of us in this room, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be today if it had not been for the Lord on my side? And He's on your side today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I got a very important question for everybody here today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know, Pastor. Think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Well, you know what? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life, by an act of your will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask Him to forgive your sins. He comes, He lives on the inside of you, and He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, if you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up front, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God and I want to get back on track. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? It's a new start, fresh day. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you want to get back on track? Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.